Chapter 1. A Job for Ann Darrow.
"Mr. Denham, I have a question about this love story," Ann said.
"It's not a love story," Jack said, a little too quickly.
When the Lyric Theatre closed its doors for the last time, Ann Darrow had no work and no money. In New York City in 1933, a lot of people were hungry. Ann was hungry, too. She was an actor, and she had to find a new job quickly. Carl Denham had work, but his bosses weren't happy with him. They gave him money and he made movies, but when they didn't like a movie, they stopped the money. With his helper, Preston, Carl showed them the beginning of his new movie and waited. They didn't like it.
"Where are Bruce Baxter and Maureen McKenzie?" they asked. "Everybody loves them."
"Maureen wasn't ready," Carl told them angrily. "But I'm changing the story. The actors are coming with me on the ship now."
"What ship?" the bankers asked. "We're not paying for a ship."
But Carl and Preston were out the door. "Get the actors and workers on the ship. We're sailing tonight," Carl said. He had an old map of a strange island, and now he wanted to make a very different kind of movie. And he didn't want to wait another day. A taxi stopped for the two men, and they quickly jumped in.
"Carl, Maureen isn't coming. She doesn't want to be in this movie," Preston said.
"Maureen isn't coming," Carl shouted. "Now I have to find another beautiful woman, and the ship sails in 3 hours.
Preston started to ask, "Where's the ship going?" But the taxi stopped, and Carl jumped out.
A fruit seller in the street, in front of Carl, turned his head away from his fruit for a minute, and a beautiful young woman quickly took some. But the fruit seller's hand was on her arm before she could run.
"Excuse me," Carl said to the young woman. "I think this fell out of your hand."
He gave her money for the fruit. Then he looked at her and smiled.
"You're hungry," he said. "Let's go to a restaurant."
In the restaurant, Ann told Carl about her life in the theater, and Carl told her about his movie.
"The two young people fall in love on the ship," he said. "And then, in the middle of the ocean, they see something."
"What?" Ann asked. Now she was interested.
"I don't know," he said slowly. "Jack Driscoll's the writer, and he's working on it now."
"Jack Driscoll?" Ann's eyes shone. "He's a wonderful writer. I know his work for the theater, and I love it.
I'd like to be in his movie."
When their conversation ended, Carl gave her Maureen McKenzie's job on his new movie. Later that evening, on the ship, Ann looked out at the lights of New York City and said goodbye to her home. Jack Driscoll found a table and chair for his dark, dirty room and started to work on the new story. He was on the ship only because Carl was his friend. He didn't want to be there. But you couldn't say no to Carl. Jack's room was the worst because it usually had animals in it. The ship's boss, Engelhorn, and his sailors caught wild animals and sold them for a lot of money. They used chloroform because they didn't want to kill the animals. So there were a lot of bottles of chloroform in Jack's room. Jack wasn't happy about Maureen. Who was this Ann Darrow? Bruce Baxter, the famous movie actor, was unhappy about Ann, too. He only worked with the best actors. But Carl wasn't interested. He had bigger problems. He had to finish this movie and make a lot of money. In Jack's room, Carl and Jack discussed the story. "Bruce Baxter is really expensive," Carl told his friend, "and I want us to get rich from this movie."
"Where are we going?" Jack asked. "Tell me. I have to know. I'm writing the story."
"Okay, but don't tell anybody. The men on this ship won't like it." "We're going to Skull Island, Jack." The door opened, and Jimmy, the youngest sailor on the ship, came in with some breakfast for the two men. They didn't look up.
"Skull Island," Jack said quietly.
Then he saw Jimmy and stopped talking. Jimmy's face didn't change. He put down the food and left. The sky was blue and the sun shone every day of the trip. Ben Hayes, Engelhorn's smartest and best sailor, thought,
"This trip is starting very well. But I don't like it. Something is going to happen."
He looked at his map.
Suddenly and angrily, he threw it down. "This isn't the right way," he thought.
Quickly, he went to Engelhorn. Engelhorn listened to Hayes. Then he said,
"We're going a different way this time."
"But it's dangerous this way," Hayes said angrily. "It's famous for bad weather. You know that."
"Life on a ship is dangerous," Engelhorn answered.
"How much did Denim pay you?" Hayes asked angrily. "Where are we really going?"
Later that day, Bruce and Anne were in front of the camera. Carl was behind it with Herb, his cameraman, next to him. Jack watched Anne, and he liked her work. Bruce was a very good actor, too, but he knew it.
"Mr. Denham, I have a question about this love story," Anne said.
"It's not a love story," Jack said, a little too quickly.
Anne didn't look at him. He was the writer, but she spoke to her boss. She knew him better than Jack Driscoll. She could talk to Carl more easily.
"The man's interested in her, but he doesn't want her on the ship with him."
"Why not?"
she asked Carl.
"He likes her, but
he doesn't want to show it," Carl answered. She turned to Jack.
"Is that right, Mr. Driscoll?" she asked.
"No." "Okay, yes," Jack said. "He is interested. She's very beautiful, and..."
He looked for the right words, but couldn't find them.
"Yes, she's beautiful, but she's more than that. She's..." "Oh, but maybe I read it wrong," Anne said.
"This is a smart girl with good ideas,"
Jack thought.
No, he answered quietly. I think you're right. I wrote it wrong.
He thought,
Anne is beautiful, too.
Women were often a problem for Jack. He couldn't find the right words when he was with them. They didn't understand him because he didn't say much. Anne wanted to like him, but he was difficult. Carl shouted,
Preston, I want the other camera from my room. Go and get it.
Preston ran to Carl's room and looked inside a very large box. He couldn't find the camera, but he found an old map of an island with some writing on the back. He tried to read the words.
Suddenly, he understood. His mouth and eyes opened wide.
The door opened, and Preston quickly put the map under his shirt. Carl walked in.
Can't you find it? Look, here it is, he said.
He took the camera off the shelf over his bed and left.
Preston stood and thought, What's happening? Is Carl taking us to this island?
He thought. After that morning in Jack's room, Jimmy had to tell somebody about Skull Island. He went to Hayes because he was almost a father to Jimmy. 2 days later, Hayes saw Carl with a map on the table in the dining room, so he went in. Jimmy and Preston didn't look up from their breakfast. Hayes spoke to the cook.
Lumpy, do you think we're on our way to Sumatra?
He asked.
Of course not. We turn southwest,
Lumpy answered. Listen, men. I'm not looking for problems, Carl said.
No, but you're looking for something, Jimmy said quietly.
Yes, that's right, Jimmy, Carl said. He had to tell them now. Skull Island. We're going to find it and film it. Then we'll show it to the world.
Lumpy said,
In 1926, Mr. Hayes and I met a man on an island out in the ocean. He almost died on Skull Island. He talked about a great wall, 100 meters high.
Why did people build the wall? Asked Carl.
Kong is the answer, said Hayes.
That's a crazy old story, said Carl. There was never really a giant on the island.
That man talked about a giant, angry gorilla, Lumpy said. And the next day, we found that man dead with his knife in him.
Preston's face went white. Jimmy's face was white, too.
You only see giant gorillas in movies, Carl said.
Take your camera and your men to that island, said Hayes, and you'll never come back.
Jack couldn't stop thinking about Anne, and he wanted to give her something. So he started work on another movie, and he wrote it for her. When he finished the first 20 pages, he said,
I would like you to read it.
After she read it and said,
I like it, she laughed. It's very funny.
It's for you,
Jack said suddenly.
Why?
Anne asked. She waited for his answer. Jack took her in his arms. She didn't push him away. Preston couldn't sleep at night because he was afraid. One morning, he walked across the dining room to Carl and spoke quietly.
Carl, we have to talk, Preston said. Now.
Carl looked up.
What about?
He asked.
The island, Carl,
Preston said angrily.
You have something, and it's mine, Carl said angrily to Preston.
Preston pulled out Carl's map.
12 men died, Carl, he said, on this island. It's very dangerous, and you're looking for it.
A crazy man made that map, said Carl.
Think about Jack, Anne, and Herb. They're your friends.
Yes, and I pay them, Carl said angrily.
You have to tell them, Preston said.
Do I? Said Carl. They'll leave. They'll be afraid.
Afraid? I'm afraid, said Preston.
Anne heard their conversation, but she didn't understand. Something was wrong. She knew that.
Is this trip going to be dangerous? She thought.
You're a good worker, Preston, and one day you'll make good movies, Carl said. But I have to ask you now, are you afraid, or are you a movie maker? Preston couldn't take his eyes off Carl's map on the table. He tried to read the small writing, but he couldn't. I know it's dangerous, but everybody will be safe, Carl said. Suddenly, Preston said,
Look! It says Kong!
There was a very small picture of a face on the map. Was it a gorilla's face? Preston's angry eyes turned to his boss.